we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
This is Dr. Peter Breggin, and with me is my wife, Ginger Breggin. And this is America Out Loud Pulse. America Out Loud Pulse. It's 5 days a week. We just do Thursdays at 5. And America Out Loud is just a marvelous platform. Today, I want to, though, very quickly dive into the show. Maybe with a, you can pick up a little bit more of a, just a serious and head-on feeling about how I'm presenting today. Sometimes we're a bit more playful because we are so honored today to be interviewing Thomas McInerney. He is a retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General. One of the things that blew me away is that he has flown 407 combat missions. I didn't know human beings were literally allowed to fly that many combat missions. I can't imagine how that forms a life experience. And maybe on a third or fourth show that we do together, I can imagine many. We'll talk about the combat missions. He has worked under presidents of the United States. The combat missions were, by the way, were in the Vietnam War. And he's got four tours of duty. I mean, it's just amazing what he's been through. He has made comments and discussions of key COVID issues and key issues about China that are just stunning. But I just give you a quick introduction to some of what catches my eye. He said that vaccines are a national security threat. That is much more to it than meets the eye. He said the deep state is much deeper and more malignant than he had ever imagined, and that it appears to include numerous members of the U.S. military. About the elections, he talked about how all but Florida is lost, and he goes and refers to a complex amount of fraud that he sees going on in the elections. One thing I'd not heard before is that Pelosi has a laptop that disappeared, and apparently he's had a look at it, and it has to do with January 6th, the supposed rebellion at the Capitol, and he is has pointed to the involvement of Antifa and many of our leaders, including McConnell, behind this rioting. And I'm aware of the FBI plants that were in this, and just so many ugly things that show the government was allowing and enabling and carrying out much of the January 6th events. So let me turn over the microphone to General Thomas McInerney.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Breggin and Ginger, for having me here today. It's a great honor. I've read your book, and I must tell you, it must be part of the congressional record when they start looking into COVID-19. And as a matter of fact, looking into Hunter Biden's laptop, because all of that is meshed together with the threat we're facing. Now, that's saying a lot, but you have a book there that you've jointly written that is extremely important for not only the American people, but for the world to read and understand. I have read it, not in complete detail, and because it's a thick book, it covers so much, but I was just amazed with it. Now, what we are facing was, as I mentioned a little bit before we started this, I was commissioned went to West Point in 1955 as a cadet and I took the oath of office to support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, that was the first day I got there, on the 5th of July, 1955. And it was a hot summer day there, but I still remember that of raising my right hand. Little did I know, as many times as I swore in people with the oath of office, that 63 years later, that I would have faced, in that supporting the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, as many domestic enemies as we are now facing. In other words, when I talk to people, I let them know this is more serious than the Civil War, World War I, which my father fought in, World War II, which my father fought in. And those three great wars in our history. And it is because the American people do not understand what has happened. And that's why, Dr. Bregan, why what you and Ginger have done is such an important document for historical and for the average American to understand. And how did I get involved with this? Well, for a retired Air Force three-star general fighter pilot to be involved in elections, viruses, a whole host of different things, cyber warfare, is not normally my parade ground. I spent 16 and a half years on Fox News as a military analyst talking about radical Islam. And that's because that's an ideology that is evil as Nazism and fascism. And we have had our experience with it. We still are experiencing it. But that's how I got here on this pathway, because on that route, back in 2017, 2 months after, 2.5 months after President Trump took over, I was briefed by a retired Navy four-star Admiral Ace Lyons that people were listening to the Trump campaign. And then, since this was March 19th, 2 months later, of the Trump administration. And it was just a quick shot. And then on the 1st of November, 2020, 3 days before the election or 2 days before the election, someone told me they were going to use the same capability in the election. Now, since I retired and the different things I do, I also am chairman now emeritus, who was chairman for many years of a edge cloud company. Now, an edge cloud company, if you look at Amazon, the cloud, you look at Oracle, you look at IBM or Microsoft, their data centers are as big as the Pentagon. My edge cloud can operate from a Humvee, a Jeep, a submarine, an aircraft carrier, and a wing, and do the same thing. So I've gotten heavily involved in information technology and in the cloud. And the reason I mention this is because we are facing a new technology that General Haytian, who was the chief of the defense staff, our equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in 2005, he promulgated a new doctrine called unrestricted warfare, in which the Chinese intend to get global domination without using kinetic warfare, that's bombs and bullets, which stuns most of us, but by using cyber warfare and biological warfare. Lo and behold, 14 years later, we have COVID-19 hit us in really 2019. I think I got it in 2019 while my wife was in the ICU at Walter Reed. They thought it was bronchitis, but I now think it was because I was living there. She was in the ICU for 10 days and sleeping there 24/7. But we all know what hit us in January. and so of 2020. Now, this is important for us to realize because the Chinese have promulgated their global domination. They fundamentally own many of the great corporations in the U.S. And the CEOs bow to them, and they move money in our universities and everything we do. They have penetrated. There's not a server, in my opinion, that they cannot penetrate. Now, they'll take $50 or $100 million from a bank on the weekend, and you're never going to hear it. And the reason I'm giving you this background is because if you heard it, you'd get it, you'd leave that bank. The insurance company hears about it. But that's a vulnerability that I'm talking about that I think is important for people to understand. And even our most secret technologies, I believe, to a degree have been penetrated. Now, I'm also in a business that all I can say is that can stop that. So from being a fighter pilot to a continued technologist and involved in national security is how I got here. And as I said, this information that I got on this top secret special access program called Hammer and Scorecard, you know, in the military, we have these call signs and code words. Hammer is like your iPhone. It communicates with people. Well, Hammer is fundamentally gets into adversaries' signals, their communications. We call it signals intelligence. And I was one of my tours. I was a commander that you all probably remember well, is when we attacked Gaddafi on April 15th, 1986. The relationship, because I'd been the air attaché in London, and I had a good relationship with their equivalent of our national security agency called GCHQ. The GCHQ liaison's office was right next to me, and I was a young full colonel working for Walter Annenberg and then Elliot Richardson and then Ann Armstrong, three different ambassadors, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. But the point is, all these things came together. And even though when I was on Fox and we heard about the Russian expose and everything against the Trump administration, I immediately understood what it was, but was never asked to discuss it. Signals intelligence is a sensitive business. But I certainly knew when information was being passed from GCHQ to the CIA, to the FBI, to the Department of Justice, that path and where it started. And so all these things have enabled me to understand what has transpired. And that's why your book, the one thing I did not get into was viruses and CDC and gain of function. These were all new words to me, but they fit in with the pattern of behavior or the doctrine of global massive biological warfare, which as a commander, I used to have under my command a unit in Korea that had a chemical warfare. We no longer do that, but we had that as part of our portfolio. So I'd seen it, but now all of a sudden we were experiencing it and a victim. And by the way, everything I'm talking about from COVID-19 to the elections, to the recent midterms, to all these things that are going on in our country, to the wokeness, to the deliberate surrender in Afghanistan. Afghanistan was not a withdrawal. It was a deliberate surrender to the open borders, to the critical race theory in our K through 12, through our colleges, now into the military. And all of this is related. And it is designed to, as you articulate in your book, to weaken America. And so we are no longer the global star, if you will, the North Star of how everybody should go. And that's why the Ukraine war there was not an accident. Like it was not an accident when Putin went into Crimea in 2014 and we sent them meals ready to eat and blankets. We did not help them. And so what I'm saying is we are going against an adversary, the World Economic Union, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, George Soros, Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, Kerry, all these people that were particularly in the 8 years that American under Barack Hussein Obama. Now that's quite a declaration, but the fact is, when you look at the patterns of behavior, the things that I discuss that are deliberate are made to diminish us, our currency, the rapid inflation. The first day as President Biden, I call him O Biden, he cancels our economic strength, which is our energy. What nation in history has given up their energy independence? And when you think about it, and you think about how important it is, and these are people blaming, well, Joe's just, you know, not all there, he's not that sharp. These are deliberately done to diminish and weaken us. I think everybody would agree if Donald J. Trump was still president, Putin would not have gone into the Ukraine. But the reason I'm mentioning all these things, Dr. Bregan and Ginger, is these are deliberate actions against us. And that's why the book that you have written and articulated it so well in such great detail, how Fauci deliberately tried to mislead us and say it was from a bat market, and how they dwelled along and everybody was trying to figure out it was an accident. And little did we know Fauci was funding gain of function through the University of North Carolina and through these private functions groups. And the money was moving there. And you can say, why would we, the wealthiest nation in the world, fund gain of function to the second wealthiest nation in the world in a military lab, virology lab number 4. That does not make sense. Now, giving a little bit of my background, when I was a colonel and I was a commander at Clark Air Base in the Philippines, I had an alert site up in Taiwan, a nuclear alert site at a base called CCK in Taiwan, that we would set nuclear alert for theater nuclear weapons into China as a deterrent, part of our deterrent strategy. So, and then I had 5 tours in the Pacific. The 4 in Vietnam and then 4 others. So a total of 8 tours in the Pacific. And most of the
General,
time—
We need to finish for this segment. I think this is the quietest we've ever been on our show for a segment.
Yes.
Just listening to you, it's stunning to hear you and stunning to understand that you and I, we've grown up through such different pathways. We're almost the same age. How much our minds are similar in the way we think and the way we articulate and the ideas. This is a first for me in the sense of, oh my God, he knows everything I know and more about this whole huge complex. Thank you for being here. And we will be back after a short break.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We have been talking with, really listening to, General Thomas McInerney, who is a retired Air Force, three-star general. perhaps for the first time in our show, Ginger and I have simply listened. There's something very moving to me about hearing you talk. Because the fullness that you bring is the fullness that I try to bring, and of course your appreciation of our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, is just amazing, because you actually have the ability to understand what we're saying. You're there, and thank you for giving so much credit to our work in trying to grasp this whole thing that's going on. And I would like you to just continue and to share with us your knowledge about this monstrous thing that's going on. I think you have gone basically into China, and we can continue with that. And then I would like to have you back if we spend the full time on China. Either way, we'd like to have you back, and you can come on our TV show as well. Thank you so much, sir. We've never talked before. I don't know how that happened, but I'm so grateful that we're getting to know each other, and that the folks are getting to hear very much what Ginger and I believe, coming from your direction of so much knowledge that we don't have, coming from the military and your years. So thank you for being here. Where would you like to continue with this? We could go in many directions. I kind of interrupted you when you were talking about Taiwan, and maybe you could just pick up there.
Well, let's pick up there. when I was a commander at Clark Air Base in the Philippines, as I said, I had this alert site, nuclear alert site up in Formosa.
And what did it do exactly? The alerts.
Well, we had four airplanes on nuclear alert with theater nuclear weapons, that if China launched any weapons on the United States, it was a deterrent posture.
Yeah.
But in working with the Taiwanese government, while there, we dropped it down. We stopped the nuclear alert, and That was under the Reagan administration. Let me see. No, it wasn't under the Reagan administration. It was initially under Carter.
Sounds like a Carter move. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but that was my first experience directly with China. And then later there, I became the commander of an air division in Okinawa, giving you background. So we were primarily focused in Korea, on North Korea, deterrent strategy. Then I was the DCS, Deputy Chief of Staff of Operations and Intelligence, as a two-star at Pacific Air Force headquarters. Now, this kind of gives you my background.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So when I start talking about things, people understand why I spent 17 of the last 18 and a half years in the Air Force overseas, either in Europe, in Alaska, or in the Pacific. And so I got quite a broad background of different theaters of war and different adversaries. And I was the ranking DCS operations intelligence-wise in the Pacific. The Pacific commander had a one-star, a chap by the name of Jim Clapper, who you now know, who became the DNI under Barack Hussein Obama. And so these perspectives on China and where they are today, and my time, I was very interested. I did the first internet on for the air staff and put in a system, the chief of staff and the vice chief of staff. I did all the things they didn't want to do. And I put this in. They in the days I was on that job as the number three man in the Air Force, I saw that the internet had just been developed. Simultaneously, I was doing for the Secretary of Defense. This was now under the Clinton administration, Vice President Gore's reinventing government. And I was the single person in the Department of Defense that represented the vice president. And I had three service chiefs, three stars in the other services that were working with me. And I would go every 2 weeks to the White House. And each branch of government would, whether it's labor, DHS, whatever, we didn't have DHS in those days, but would have one person there, and we'd be there with the vice president and implementing new initiatives into the whole federal government. And Vice President Gore did a good job on that. But my point is, so I got, in addition to being the number three man in the Air Force, I also monitored Air Force One and all those things. So I had quite a bit of interplay with the White House as a three-star then. And I just put that out to get my overall understanding of how information flows,
yes, thank you,
et cetera, and why I've come to the conclusions I have, because they're based on patterns of behavior. And then with the 16 and a half years of Fox News, where initially I'd do 3 to 5 shows a day, and then it got to 3 to 5 shows a week, and then it got to about two or three a week. But my point is, and they were very good to me, but it was obvious they wanted me to leave, and I was fired. I only point this out because I called Songbird John McCain, Songbird John. Well, I didn't come up with that name. The North Vietnamese did. But they wanted me to leave because I was a strong proponent of President Trump. And the reason this is important, because even Fox News will not talk about some of the things we're talking about.
That's right. Well, they eventually dropped me. I used to be a guest there with Hannity.
Yeah.
And I was even on The Factor.
So you knew all that, and you could see how they subtly changed under the, quote, the new leadership. And look, I don't resent it. I'm immensely grateful. My wife reminded me I was Christmas help. And for 16 and a half years, it was an interesting experience. But all these things come together. And that's why when I give my viewpoints, it's without any bark on the tree. And it's very important that people understand there's a reason for it. Patterns of behavior. And when I said those things, that the cancellation of our energy independence, the open borders, the deliberate surrender in Afghanistan, the critical race theory, when did we make a person's skin color a criteria for his performance? Martin Luther King had it right, based on the merits of your character and your performance. When I left Okinawa as an air division commander, I launched 55 F-15s. Those are single-seat aircraft. Now, Dr. Bregan, I didn't care where they went to school, who their mommy and daddy was, who they were married to. I considered in a single-seat aircraft his performance. Was he there when I needed him? And that's what I grew up in. And some days we'll talk about those 400-plus missions in Vietnam and the four different tours. But I never considered a person's skin color. Yet now it is the order of the day. That's wrong. And all the things that you point out in your book so brilliantly about how we shut down the economy, where we could have, for those four tours, I took once a week hydroxychloroquine. Now, there were probably 5.5 million troops that served in Vietnam. It was for malaria. But all we had to do to counter COVID-19 was hydroxychloroquine, as you say, as well as ivermectin, a new drug. But it could have been so easy the way it was handled. And it was deliberately done for a reason. It was deliberately done. Now, I don't blame President Trump because he didn't know what they were putting in the vaccine. And he didn't get much support from his medical professionals on the hydroxychloroquine or the ivermectin. And so, but your simple way how we could have resolved this and had a thousandth the number of casualties, deaths that we had, was absolutely superb. And Anthony Fauci must stand up for what he did to this nation, as the governors in New Jersey and New York, for how they put COVID patients into nursing homes. And because we all know the older people were more vulnerable, the younger people didn't do it. Yet we have given it to our military, our first responders, and our medical people. And when you consider the impacts, like the football player that is in critical condition in the game on Monday Night Football, I suspect when they really look at it, they're going to see that he did get the vaccination and this could be a problem with it. Our government has deliberately made it mandatory, which I believe is making it a deliberate attack on mankind. I'm going to give you another vignette. When I grew up, my father was in the Army, an ordnance colonel, and he ran the Mercedes and the BMW factories in Germany. And I lived in a home that one of Hitler's scientists that were doing all the experiments on people lived in. It was a beautiful home in a little town called Esslingen. And my father had five factories, Mercedes and BMW. I was a teenager in junior high school. So memorable events to me of that. But this deliberate attack and deliberately trying to drive down the population is deliberate. Never would I have thought that I would tell you or anyone else on the radio, because I sound like a tin hat.
Yeah.
But we are facing what the Nuremberg trials, you know, said will never happen again in our own country. And it was disguised. And it came under initially the 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, when you look at the swamp and how much Trump was able to accomplish. But you rightly point out that, that Trump has not taken a position on the vaccination that I think he should, and be more outward the big pharma tricked him into it.
I think definitely so.
Going to population control.
Yeah.
And these are things that I never would have believed, Dr. Bregan, that I would be saying to you and Ginger on the radio like this. But it is, these are the facts that I've seen them, and all these experiences that I have gotten through my many years is why I'm still involved, because the founding fathers would never have been able to describe this. And because I told you that this was more dangerous than the Civil War, World War I, and World War II, well, today, for instance, we are losing people to fentanyl at a rate almost equal to the peak of World War II of killed in action, over 100,000 a year. We lost 400 plus thousand in World War II. We lost 107,000 last year, in, or the year before, with fentanyl. That is another biological attack deliberately coming out of China, masked through Mexico, and smuggled with open borders. And all those deaths on these young people don't even know they've got it. And this is deliberate. Now, that may sound and startle some, but the fact is, the evidence is there. The administration has done nothing to close the border down like President Trump could have. And it's just one decision. And so Barack Hussein Obama, who I believe is, he's the only president that never left Washington, D.C. George Washington went down to Mount Vernon in Virginia. Barack Hussein Obama moved 1.2 miles from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to Kalorama, next to the largest mosque in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my, I didn't know that.
He's got a skiff in his basement. And who do you think he communicates in the White House and the different people? Look at all the people, the chief of staff. Look at the Secretary of State. Look at the Secretary of Defense. All these billets were primarily people part of Barack Hussein Obama.
This is very important, because more than anyone I've talked with, you are showing that Barack Obama is behind, pulling the strings, basically, on the president and the people around him.
He is the puppet master.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know who's his puppet master. And I think it has to, we'd have to reach deep into globalism and into the bankers and into Schwab and into Bill Gates and the China.
You laid them out in your book. Okay, they're all there.
I did lay them out. We did lay them out in the book. You're though, you have this knowledge I don't have, and I've not been able to say, I've suspected, but I've not been able to say that Barack Obama was was pulling the strings. And that's so graphic what you say, that he's actually lives in Washington, D.C. I didn't even know that. And that, you know, he lives next to the mosque. I think that's so interesting.
Well, he plays at my golf course.
Ah.
And so I picked up one of his balls.
At last, some levity. This is the first levity that you and I have smiled, and Ginger has smiled since you started talking. We only have 20 seconds, and then we go to the next segment. Again, I'm just listening and mulling and just trying to bring your knowledge into my own head and polishing mine here and there. And it's amazing to have you here, sir.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with General Thomas McInerney. It's one of the most important interviews that I've ever given. And it's in part because I don't think I've met anyone else who thinks so closely to the way I do about what's going on in the world. And that was unexpected. And it's quite startling for me. And as you could tell from the very little bit I said, the general is helping me just polish up some of my thinking and also giving me more confidence in mine. Your support for our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, has actually come at a very good time for me because I'm getting more of the essence out of the book for a shorter book. And the essence I'm getting out of the book is the essence that you are discussing today. And that's very striking. The general spells his last name, since we're not on TV. Let me tell you, it's capital M-C, little c, and then capital I-N-E-R-N-E-Y. How do people get in touch with you, General? How do they read your stuff?
Well, I'm not on social media, and I'm overloaded as it is on emails, and I don't give out my email address, but I send all my podcasts and TV stuff to the Citizens Commission on National Security, CCNS, but it's when you Google it, you've got to type in Citizens Commission on nationalsecurity.org, and so all my radio shows and things like that, I put on there, and that's a small group.
And that's an amazing group of generals and colonels and just terrific people on that platform.
They are a very, very, very interesting and important group.
Give that name again, because I think that's a really, I've never mentioned that on the air before.
It's Citizens Commission on nationalsecurity.org. And Google it, it'll come up. Never has this happened before in our history. And nobody denies that it's happening. Turns out the Russian hoax was not a Russian hoax, which I knew because of the way it was coming out of the UK through their equivalent and moved over. Someone was conceiving that and what Hillary Clinton was doing. So all these things that we have had that have penetrated our society have now become truths. And one of the things I do want to get to, because I know we're talking China, but China is behind all of this. And let's talk about the 2020 election. I am an election denier. And the reason is, I predicted it on the 2nd of November that they would use hammer and scorecard on the Steve Bannon show with Sidney Powell was the anchor. I had talked to her and Rudy Giuliani the night before that they were going to do this, and they got me on Steve Bannon show. And I said that, I didn't say the Chinese communists were going to, said they were going to use the Democrats' hammer and scorecard on this election. Lo and behold, they did. Now, and it was brazen, it was easily discoverable, yet, I'll get into something else, but that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to be looking at this Friday, the 6th of January. But this is all related. Little did I know when I went on and said that, that they had transferred this capability to China. I think James Baker, who you heard was fired, he was the general counsel for the FBI when the inventor of this program became a whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery. And in 2015, March, he became a whistleblower and turned over 49 servers of 47 or 49 servers of information of people 2 weeks after Obama came in office and was inaugurated on the 3rd of February. He moved a cookie cutter, a version of this out of CIA, it was actually out in Reno, over to Fort Washington, Maryland. They started listening to judges and a whole host of people, preachers in the US. Now, the CIA in a CIA facility cannot do this. Only the NSA can. Then you have to go to the Patriot Act and get approval by a court, et cetera. You've all heard this court, the FISA court. And my point is, the Patriot Act has been turned against us. And what they did in the 2020 election, I believe someone sold it, and this is a notional number, for $100 million to the Chinese. Now, the Chinese just used it six weeks ago in Brazil against Bolsonaro and turned it over to Lula. They moved 5,188,344 votes from Bolsonaro to Lula, and Lula won. Now, I thought the Brazilian people were going to fight that because they knew that Lula was a former convict, et cetera, and a communist. But what it means is the last democracy in South America has now been flipped because Lula took over yesterday, I heard. I'm very disappointed in that. But they used an American system to do it. A SIGINT system that I mentioned, it's like hammers like your iPhone, and on the applications, whether it's your bank, whether it's travel, whatever it is, that's called scorecard, and that goes in, and that goes in the election, and like five of the six battleground states in the 2020 election stopped counting at 9 or 10 o'clock at night on the 3rd of November, 2020, and restarted in the morning. And the number I remember is at 0631 hours in Michigan, there were 242,341, I think, that's close number, votes at 0631 hours in the morning came in for Joe Biden. Now, that's an impossibility that when you quit counting, and you start counting again, that you get that number that are all for Biden. Now, if you did an audit, you could check that and do that. But the six battleground states, and the reason this is all related now to China is doing this. They did it in our midterms. Now go and I'll talk to you about the midterms. But let me finish in 2020. So the six battleground states are Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. They were all hacked in the vernacular, and votes were replaced from Trump to Biden. There's no way Biden got 81 million votes in that election. And if he did, he would be demanding, Dr. Bragan, he would demand that they have audits in all 50 states for bragging rights. Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
It would put people like me out of business. But he doesn't do that. And does it sound interesting that they did that in our 2020 election, plus they did COVID-19 and the Chinese New Year when they flushed everybody out across the world? So when we look at China, God. I start from the U.S. and actions that go on here and that results come out here with the number of students in our colleges, our technology, with the number of business investments, with buying up property, buying up food plants, all these things that are going on that we must look at. Now, in the midterms, because I think it's important before I run out of time, the Republicans won 5 Senate seats. Now, you're going to say, oh, where's he coming from now? And I'm going to tell you, they won in New Hampshire. They won in Pennsylvania. They won in Georgia. They won in Arizona. And they won in Nevada. Now, for example, against Fetterman, Dr. Oz had 330,000 votes stolen from him using cyber warfare. And he only lost by 155,000 votes. In Georgia, Herschel Walker had 330,000 votes shifted using cyber warfare. And what they do is they go in the server and they'll put this application, just like you do in your iPhone when you check your bank or your travel or the weather, and they put this on, and they quickly adjust and only win by, say, 2%. So it's close. And everybody says, well, it was close, and they don't dispute it. In the other one, and you're going to say, well, why didn't they do something about it? Well, Rona McDaniel, the chair of the Republican National Committee, is the one that should sue them. If I find these numbers out, why don't they? And they did it a little different from the 2020 to the midterms. They only focused on certain senators, and they also used heavy mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots, when they get this slug of 100,000 that come in, you've got to audit them, because what you're going to find is there are a lot of illegal immigrants, no names, people that have moved, a whole host of things. You can audit these things in a week. This evidence, Carrie Lake is the only one that's fighting it, the election. And I believe those people took their campaign money and ran, Dr. Oz and the others. They should have fought, but they didn't get much help from the Republican leadership, from Rona McDaniel, nor from Kevin McCarthy or the Senate majority, the Senate minority leader, McConnell. You never hear these people talk about this. Now, what I'm driving at is the end of the week here on Friday, the 6th of February, there are two cases coming up in the Supreme Court of the United States, in the SCOTUS. The first one that's coming up is Brunson, Brunson, versus Adams. And that's the Brunson brothers are four trumpet players, I understand, in Salt Lake City. And they are saying in the election, which was contested, remember, on the 6th of January, just before the riots started, and during it, there were over 100 members of Congress that had objections to the election, the 2020 election, in their states. Now, in accordance with the Brunson brothers and the Constitution, these should have been looked into. They waved them off, and they made it perfunctory. In addition, the Vice President Pence, he knew about this program because that program is still being used. Now, I can talk about it because I was never briefed in it. It's public record. But it's still being used. And so this is going to be looked at by the Supreme Court of the United States. I've got my doubts on the Supreme Court because they missed a great opportunity when Texas put in that lawsuit and had 18 others right after the 2020 election. The next one is...
General, we're down to a minute and a half.
Okay, Moore versus Harper. And that's going to come up on Friday the 6th as well. And that discusses redistricting, and the legislature has said this is how they want to do it. And the Supreme Court of North Carolina says, no, you can't do it that way. And the states in the Founding Fathers says it's the legislatures that determine it. So that's my wrap up today.
Yeah, it's an amazing wrap up. Are your ideas spelled out in writing anywhere that covers some of this?
No, it is not, unfortunately.
Oh, I'd like to figure out what we could do about that.
Well, yeah.
I'd love to have that in writing for my next book, but we do have it on right here, folks, if you've been listening to it. We have it on our show on America Out Loud Pulse, and it's been an amazing three segments with you, sir. Ginger will be contacting you about continuing with this conversation. It would be amazing to figure out how to put some of this into writing, but I guess it's evolving as part of the issue. It's just evolving.
And because I have this dual role that I mentioned earlier, my time available, et cetera. So, but let's continue this.
Okay.
Very interested and very enthusiastic because it does fit in with your brilliant book.
Oh, God bless you for mentioning that again. We'll end on that. Thomas McInerney, general, war hero, now hero of the freedom movement. Thank you for being on America Out Loud Pulse. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, Dr. Bregan, and what you and Ginger are doing.
Thank you. God bless you too, sir.